You're listening to The Journey Podcast. The Journey is a ministry of Southcrest Baptist Church for those in college or college-aged. We hope this podcast helps you find your greatest pleasure and purpose in Jesus.
How are we feeling, guys? Yeah? Okay. Hey, it is, I'm glad that you guys are here. It's good to be back. Hope you had a great spring break. Glad no one got injured skiing. That was awesome. But man, it is, it's just good to be back here with you guys, and I'm excited for tonight. We're going to talk about dating, okay? Dating is it's a weird concept, isn't it? Like, it's just, like, let's just get that out of the way. Like, it's a weird concept. My very first girlfriend in high school, okay, it was long distance. I was in Big Spring. She was in the DFW area, so imagine how great that worked out, right? We met at church camp, and I was like, man, this is the one. Like, this is it. And before we left, before we got on our charter buses to go, we were like, we gotta, like, exchange something. Like, this was, like, not before cell phones, okay? Like, we had cell phones. But, like, this was before, really, like, iPhones and all that. But we were like, we got to exchange something. And she was like, you know, like, let's exchange pillows. And in my head, I'm like, that is a terrible idea. Like, you don't know what my pillow looks like right now. But I was brand new to this thing. And I was like, okay, like, sure, let's exchange. And she had, like, this beautiful pillow, like, just perfect. Mine was all ratty and torn up with, like, slobber stains on it. And I was just like, I'm sorry, but, like, this is what you get, okay? And so we exchanged pillows. And I don't really even know, like, why we did that, but we did it and broke up 2 months later. So I was left with this pillow with a, you know, flower pillowcase on it. And I remember my best friend, I was heartbroken. I was like, man, this is the girl I was supposed to marry. And heartbroken, my friend was like, you know what, man, I'm coming over this weekend. We're going to hang out. And he brought over, like, a bottle of sparkling grape juice. And we downed our sorrows with sparkling grape juice. And this is a true story, okay? This is a true story. And my mom, okay, being the great mother that she is, took that sparkling grape juice bottle and wrote the date on there that she broke up with me and put it, like, as a centerpiece. And so I was just so thankful for her. But dating, like, dating's weird. like why? Like, we know what it's for, but it's just it's a weird concept. Last month, our friend Google, okay, I Googled this. So last month, I looked this up. It was estimated that $25 billion was spent on Valentine's Day. Like, that's just, like, that's one day, okay? Some of you probably attributed to that. Some of you probably wish you would have attributed to that, okay? But $25 billion on a day that's, like, spent around love, right? And so we're gonna talk about dating. And really, this whole series, I want to just kind of say this up front. There's so many great resources out there, like, for you specifically in this season of life, whether it's singleness, dating, engaged. And man, I wanna let you know, like, a couple of weeks ago when we talked about singleness, I referenced a book, Not Yet Married, and a lot of some of the practical stuff that we talked about came from that book. And if that's something that you want, like, come talk to me and we'll make sure we get that in your hands. There's so many great resources. One of them was mentioned, the Becoming Something podcast. Man, they talk about a lot of these subjects and topics far better than I could ever, like, express. I'm not an expert on this by any means. And so we would love to, like, give you resources and offer you as much help as you need as you navigate these, you know, these weird times. But dating, it's a weird concept. It feels like when it's at its worst, it's a just like a constant evaluation period, okay? And that you're constantly having to be, like, at your best, or that person's gonna break up with you. And then when it's at its best, you probably feel like this is the best thing ever. Like, can't get any better than this. And so there's this, like, it's just like this roller coaster of emotions when it comes to dating. And what I think is unfortunate is oftentimes, even as Christians, oftentimes we lean on the wisdom of the world to not only tell us who to date, but how to date. And that's so unfortunate, because I think what happens is that sets us up for failure. And what I want to do tonight is let me say this. As I was prepping for this message, okay, I decided I want to search out just like what are some reality shows that are on dating, okay? What are some reality shows that are centered like on dating or love or things like that? And these are just a handful, mind you. Like, I didn't put all of them down here that I came across, because I was like, I don't know if I can say that. But here's just like a handful, okay? Obviously, The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, right? Any Bachelorette or Bachelor people in here? Okay, no shame. Yeah, absolutely. You hear, funny story. I chose our honeymoon location based off of The Bachelor, okay? So, like, no shame. Love is Blind, right? And if you watch any of these, like, there's no, like, we're not going to condemn you tonight. Some of them we might, okay? But no shame. Love is Blind, Love Island, Love in the Wild, Sexy Beast, okay? Let's be honest. Has anyone heard of that, Sexy Beast? Okay, I looked this up, and I was like, what in the world? So it's two people, you know, meeting for the very first time, but they're wearing prosthetic masks of, like, different animals. It is, when, like, I was just like, I don't even know what to say anymore. Like, how do you talk about this? Sexy Beast, that's a reality show centered around love and dating, okay? Here's one, Couple to Thruple, okay? So you're in a relationship with someone and you want to explore bringing someone else into that relationship with you. That is an actual show, Couple to Thruple. Temptation Island, okay? This is just a handful. This is just a handful of shows that I found that like center around dating and love, okay? Now, why do I bring all of that up? I think here's what I'm trying to get at. What these networks know, like Netflix, Peacock, Amazon, right? Like, what they know is that love sells, sex sells. And they know that every single person wants someone to love them, and they want to love someone. Every single person. It's ingrained in us. It's natural to us to want to be loved and to love someone else. And for most college students that I talk with, and I guarantee you, like, if I was to ask you to raise your hand, I guarantee you every hand would probably go up in here. But for most college students that I talk with, dating is filled with stress. It's filled with anxiety. It's confusing at times. Sometimes you're like, where do I even begin? Like, how do I even start? And as I think about that, and as we talk about this, it just kind of brings up to me just like a question. Like, there has to be a better way, right? Like, that can't be what God meant for us when it came to, like, trying to figure out who I'm going to marry and spend the rest of my life with. It can't just be, like, anxiety-ridden and stress-filled until I get to that point. There has to be a better way. And I think as followers of Jesus, this isn't how God wants us to operate in this season of life. He doesn't want you to spend this season really where it's an evaluation, like, let's be honest, like, it's an evaluation period, right? He doesn't want you to spend this season just living in anxiety and stress trying to figure this out. There has to be a better way than this. And so a lot of what I'm going to say tonight comes from a place of, like, personal failure, okay, in this season. It comes from a place of looking back on my life, like, before marriage, pre-Kylie, okay? And I desired, like, especially in college, I desired relationships. I desired to date so that I would feel normal, Like everyone else was doing it. And so I want to feel normal in this season. Because if everyone else is doing it, then I feel like I need to be doing it, right? And so I didn't really know what to look for. I didn't really know what to want in this season. And so I want you tonight to learn from my mistakes, basically. Like I want to like alleviate some stress in your life, alleviate some anxiety and say, hey, learn from the stupidity that was Tyler, okay? Learn from me, learn from my mistakes. Don't make the same ones. And I want to, and as I was kind of thinking about the route to take with this, I thought, you know what, we could talk about like how to date, which there's a lot of different things we could talk about there. But I think what I want to do is I want to talk about what to look for when you're dating, okay? Because this is where I feel like a lot of Christians, especially college students, get tripped up. We're going to talk about this in just a second, but if someone tells you, yeah, I love Jesus, that's where we stop. And we're like, okay, like that's it. That's what I've been looking for. But we need to keep going with that. We need to keep asking questions beyond that. And a lot of what I'm going to tell you tonight, kind of the inspiration for where we're going to go comes from my college pastor who kind of sat me down. I don't remember really anything that he shared with me in regards to the passage that we're going to look at tonight. But what he did is he showed me this passage and he said, hey, this is who God wants you to become. And so why not look for this same person as you're looking to date? And so that's what we're gonna do. And if you don't hear anything else tonight, man, I would love for you just to kind of sit there and learn what I learned as he was talking to me about this, as I was in a place where I was kind of lost. It was like, okay, I don't know what to do anymore. Like, I feel like I've experienced failure after failure after failure with girls. And so I don't know what to do. And when he sat me down and just showed this to me, I was like, okay, like this makes sense to me. And so that's my hope for you as we think about this. And so our focus is going to be primarily on one verse tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. And it's a list, okay? It's a list that Paul, the Apostle Paul, gives Timothy. And what's interesting about this is Timothy is a single guy, okay? He's not married. He's not, he doesn't have a family. He's single. And Paul's talking to him and he's telling him, hey, these are characteristics of a minister of the gospel. Like these are characteristics that you need to allow God to form in you as a minister of the gospel. And so in one sense, Timothy, Paul's talking to all of us because in one sense, all of us in here are ministers or carriers of the gospel if we follow Jesus because we've been tasked to carry that message with us and share it with people. And so in one sense, these are characteristics that God is trying to form in you as a minister of the gospel. And so I want to look at it and just ask the question, what does this look like for us as we're thinking about dating, okay? What does it look like for us as we're thinking about dating? So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Okay, so very first thing that I want us to see here, when we're thinking about dating, okay, which you, I know that this season of life you already are, or you may be in a relationship right now. When you're thinking about dating someone or you see someone and you're like, that could be a person that I want to date, okay? Here's the first thing I want you to think about. The Apostle Paul says it here, and it's this. Are their words life-giving, okay? Is that person that you're thinking about dating, are their words life-giving? Paul says it there in chapter 4, verse 12. He says, don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech. Set an example for the believers in speech. Now, let's get this out of the way. Physical attractiveness, absolutely important, okay? Like, you're not going to date someone that you're not attracted to. So it's an important characteristic, okay? But it's not the ultimate characteristic. But you need to be attracted to someone that you want to date. But the list I'm going to lay out for you, I think, is even more vital than that. And the first thing that Paul wants us to think about here, again, he's talking to Timothy, who's a minister of the gospel, and he says, these are characteristics that God is trying to form and create in you, but we're thinking about them now in someone that we want to date. And the first thing that he says this is this, are their words life-giving? Okay? He says, Paul says, Timothy, set an example for believers in speech. And I don't think we can overemphasize this enough. The way someone talks matters. The words people use matter. Words have the power to give life or to tear down. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says it this way. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Paul says the tongue, the mouth, the words you use, they have the power of death. They have the power of life. You get to choose how you use it. Words matter. Now, why is this important? Because as Christians, for us, dating is a tool to help us prepare for marriage, which marriage, and we're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks, but marriage is the most intimate relationship you're ever going to have in your life. And so you're preparing for that as you date. And if you look at someone and you think, man, that person is someone that I could date, but they sure do seem to be pretty harsh with their words. Like, they're not very encouraging to people. In fact, most of the time that they talk to people, they're kind of tearing them down. They're kind of tearing them down. Their words aren't really life-giving. They don't speak a lot of life into people. That should be a red flag for us. That should be a major red flag for us. Are their words harsh? Jonathan Bakluta, who does that podcast, or is one of the hosts of that podcast, Becoming Something, great resources out there, has written a great book on dating. What is it called? Outdated, I think is what it's called. Great book on dating, okay? Check it out. But he says this. He says, there are no married people problems, just single people problems carried into marriage. Just single people problems carried into marriage. And so let me kind of give you an example of non-life-giving words from Tyler, okay? And from my experience. When Kylie and I, after we got married, we started, you know, banging out kids. That's probably not the right phrase. We started, you know, like having kids, okay? Kid one, kid two, kid three, okay? And after kid three, man, we were exhausted. Holland, she was a hard baby, okay? She just cried all the time. Didn't really know like how to soothe her really, really well. And we were really tired. We were really exhausted, which when you're tired and exhausted, a lot of times, like, you just stop using your brains and you don't think about a whole lot of things, like things to say and things like that. And I remember Kylie and I, we were standing in the kitchen and we were kind of having an argument. And again, we're tired. And I think she was probably like, I probably wasn't pulling my weight in certain areas. And she let me know that. And so just kind of like out of the air, I looked at her and said, hey, you're not the first person to have three kids. And I remember as soon as I said that, I was like, oh no. Like, I can't believe that just came out of my mouth. And it was more like, hey, you're not the first person to have three kids. Like, trying to like hide it. But she heard it. And like, she didn't talk to me for like a couple of hours after I said that. Thankfully, okay, even though those weren't life-giving words in that moment, that wasn't a character trait that I possess, okay? But I want you to see that as an example. Like people can use non-life-giving words, and that can be a character trait of theirs. That can be something that they embody, right? That can be something that they embody. And some of you right now are dating people, and you constantly overlook how that person maybe belittles people or how they tear down people because you're like, hey, they told me they love Jesus. But their words aren't life-giving. They don't encourage people. They're not the type of person that's going to go to someone and just like encourage them and speak life into them. They tear people down. And so the first thing I want us to think about is, are their words life-giving when we're thinking about dating this person? Let's go on. Look at what Paul says again in verse 12. He says, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, okay? Which leads us to our second one. Does their outer life line up? Does their outer life line up, okay? The two things that I think about most when it comes to, especially for college students, when it comes to dating, is either settling or thinking that I can change this person. Like, man, I don't know that I'm ever gonna find anyone really better than this. So I like, yeah, like they may have some character issues, some character flaws, but like they're still pretty good, and you settle. Or you start to think, but if I just like, I feel like I can really just change them and help them. And so that's gonna be my goal, my mission as I date them, right? Like that's what we think about. And with both of those, you're setting yourself up for failure. When you date, look for someone, as Paul says here, he says, who is setting an example in conduct, right? Or as Paul calls it, or he calls it in conduct, or maybe even better, ask the question, does their outer life match what they say they believe? Does it match what they say they believe, right? The apostle, Peter, he uses the same word in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. I don't know if we have this up there or not. Yeah, we do. He says this, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance, but as the one who called you is holy, you are also to be holy in all your conduct. So he's saying the same thing here as Paul. Walk in a manner worthy of what you say. Does your outer life match what you say you believe? And when you're looking for someone to date, does their outer life match what they say they believe, right? They may call themselves a Christian, but does the way they live match up to that? I dated a girl in college and I had no business dating her. And I became so blinded to so many issues with this relationship because she told me, I follow Jesus. And that was enough for me in that moment. I became so blinded and there was no reason for me to date her. And I would have been saved so much heartache in that moment if I would have just kind of gone on and been like, okay, well, like, does her life match up to what she says? And here's the thing. I'm not saying that we're looking for perfection, okay? Like, no one here is going to be perfect. No one is going to be perfect. So we're not looking for perfection in this moment. But does that person's life primarily or for the majority of their life, does it line up with what they say they believe? And I think this is where I see so many college students get off track with this, because the question, do you love Jesus? That's a great question to ask, but then we just stop there. We just stop there, right? And then we see these red or maybe yellow flags in this person, but we're like, hey, it's okay because we've asked the question, do they love Jesus? And they told me yes. And so those red and yellow flags, those are gonna get worked on as we continue to date. And man, thank God that we serve a God who is a God who changes us, right? He continues to work in us and he continues to change us. He continues to make us look more like Jesus. But here's what I've seen more times than not. If you are a strong Christian in your faith and you date someone who's not, that strong person ends up being pulled down, not pulling the other person up. Think about it like this. Landon Holly, he told me this morning. Brandon Hayes uses this example. He said he heard Brandon use this example. But think about someone who's on the edge of a cliff right here, and you're holding them. And you're holding on to them. It's a lot easier to be pulled down than it is to pull them up. It's a lot easier to be pulled down than it is to be pulled up. And so go beyond the question, do you love Jesus or do you believe in Jesus? and start asking the question, like, does your life match that? Does this person that I want to date, does their life match that? Look at what Paul says as we move on. He says, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in conduct, and then he says, in love. So the next thing I want us to think about when we think about, is this person worth dating? Do they love well? Do they love well? And I know that some of these that we're talking about are going to be a little bit more difficult to decipher until you really start to get to know someone. But ask the question, like internally, like, does this person love well? And here's two things that I'm thinking about when I think about this question, do they love well? First off is this, what does that person love exactly? When you examine the life of the person that you want to date, where do their loves lie? Is kind of what I'm getting at. Do you see an obsession anywhere in their life? If someone was like, look at my life right now, if they were to look at Tyler, they might go, hey, Tyler really loves his dog Cliff a little too much. Okay, like he's a little obsessed with that dog. Probably more than he loves his kids. I'm kidding, okay? But I do love my golden retriever, Cliff. Like, he's an awesome dog, okay? I love him so much. But where do their love, like where does that person's loves lie? Like, are there any obsessions anywhere that you see? One thing that I ask myself often and when I think about this is, especially when it comes to my kids, what will my kids say that I loved? What will they say that I loved? Like, if you were to ask my kids, like, hey, what does your dad love? I feel like if they were to say anything other than Jesus, I've missed the mark in my life. I've missed it. And I want you to hear this because it's okay to have deep affections for things. Like, I have a deep affection for, like, Texas Tech sports, okay? Like, I have a deep affection for it. But here's what I know. When those affections start to change our demeanors, when those affections start to change how we react to people, how we relate to people, how we treat people, then we know things are starting to get twisted, right? And so it's okay to have deep affections for things. But what do you love the most? Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, he said it this way. He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so what do they love, right? Like, what is it that you see in their life that they love the most? Are there any obsessions anywhere? And then the second thing that I think about when I think about this question of do they love well is this. Is there any selfishness in their life? Now, granted, there's like every one of us in a moment can be selfish, right? Like, one of the things that I think marriage has done for me is it's highlighted how selfish of a person I actually am. And one of the things that I love about marriage is that God uses it as a tool to chip away at that selfishness every single day. But and I'm speaking, I think, right now, especially to guys. Like, one of the things that I see in the life of college students, especially guys, is just this ability to really love yourself and only yourself. And so, do you see really a bad habit of selfishness in that person's life? Jesus said it here. He said, this is the greatest commandment that I can give you. Love God with all that you have, and then love others. So ask yourself, this person that I want to date, do they love Jesus? Do they love the church? Do they love others well? Ask yourself that question as you think about this. Paul goes on and he says, in love, and then set an example in faith, okay? And so the fourth thing that I want to mention here is this. What is their faith in? And this kind of coincides with what we've talked about a little bit already, okay, And this may seem like a duh moment right here, but ask the question, have they trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins? Okay. Have they done that? Like, anyone can say, I'm a Christian. Okay, but go a little bit further than that. Go a little bit further than that. Anyone can say they're a Christian, but ask the question, has the gospel impacted this person's life? Has it done that for this person? Because I think this is where a lot of us get tripped up because we're like, you know what, man, like Jimmy's a good person or Jenny's a good person. But that's the wrong category for us when we think about this because the Bible gives us really two categories of people. It says you're either a friend of God or you're an enemy of God. Those are the categories that the Bible gives us. It doesn't say you're a good person or a bad person. It says you're a friend of God or you're an enemy of God. And until you've placed your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, you're in that enemy category. That's where you're at. And so honestly, like this should probably be like checklist number one for us. Like, has this person placed their faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins? Because if you're dating someone who hasn't trusted in Jesus, who doesn't live each day by the grace of God, okay, then you yourself are sinning. And I know that sounds harsh, but Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, he says this, he says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. He's talking about relationships here. Don't find yourself unequally yoked with someone because it doesn't work. You believe something, they believe something, and they are diametrically opposed to one another. So don't do it. It doesn't work. How many of you have ever heard the term missionary dating? Anyone? Yeah, a few of us. It's a stupid term, okay? Like just being honest. Like, it's a stupid term, right? Because missionary dating is where you date to try to change someone. You're like, man, like that person, I feel like if I just date them, like I can really bring them around to the Lord. Guys, it very rarely, if ever, happens, okay? It does not work. Where do they place their faith? Have they trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins? Not just tell you, like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but like, what's their story? Don't be afraid to ask that. Hey, tell me your story. Like, tell me, like, when God changed your life. Don't be afraid to ask. This is a person that you could potentially spend the rest of your life with. It's that important. Ask the hard questions. And then the final thing that Paul says here is he says, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So the final thing that I want you to see is this. Is purity a priority in the person that you are looking to date? Is purity a priority in the person that you're looking to date? And I'm talking about purity in all forms here, okay? The way they think, the way they talk, sexual purity, all of these things. 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says to flee sexual immorality. Like, don't walk the line, don't do that. No, flee it, he says. Flee sexual immorality. If I was to think of, man, like, what are some of the biggest barriers right now for your generation when it comes to, like, changing the world for Jesus, for reaching people with the gospel message of Jesus Christ? Because, like I told you guys, I believe that's you, okay? I believe you are exactly who God wants to use right now. But what are some of the biggest barriers that I can think of when it comes to keeping you from doing that? The biggest one that I can think of is sex. That's the one that's going to get in your way every single time. Because here's the thing. It's everywhere. And I'm talking about how we approach sex here. It's everywhere. It's in everything we listen to. It's in every movie we watch. It's in every book we read, right? Like it's everywhere. Pornography's never been easy, like more easy to access and more easy to hide. It's everywhere. And so if I was to say, what's the biggest barrier for your generation to share the gospel with people? It's how you approach sex. It's how you approach purity. When I think about this, man, you're never gonna be more countercultural in your life than how you view sex, especially on the college campus. Especially on the college campus. And so if we're gonna be truly committed to the ways of Jesus, if we're gonna truly trust him with our lives and everything about it, right? And trust that he knows best, then we have to trust him in every area, even this one. And so if you're looking to date someone and that person doesn't really have the same commitment to purity that you do, man, run from it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Does that person live with a pure heart? So let's land the plane here. So if this is who we're wanting to date, like if this is a list of characteristics that not only, yeah, if this is who we want to see, where do we find this person? Well, let's start with where we're not gonna find him. And I don't wanna say not, okay, because there's plenty of relationships, okay, that have blossomed into beautiful relationships that honor God and glorify God. But where are you most likely not gonna find this person? Probably not, you know, like probably not at Chimmy's on Thursday night, okay? Like probably not on Thirsty Thursdays in Chimmy's. Probably not in the Depot District Friday night, Saturday night, okay? Like you're probably not gonna find this person there. But here's my hope. My hope is that you would find this person right here. My hope is that you would find this person in the church. But maybe not yet. Maybe that's not like where you're at yet, okay? Maybe you're like, yeah, that's who I want, but I don't know that I'm there yet. Here's my challenge for you then. Start working on the person that you want to date. And I'm talking about you. Start becoming the person that you want to date. These are great characteristics that you can look at God and go, okay, God, start forming these in me. Right now, as I'm on this journey to find this person, okay, because I know I want to date, I know that I want marriage, I know that's a goal of mine, help me become this person right now. Help me become someone that loves well, who pursues purity in everything. Help me become someone who lives with upstanding conduct in my life, right? Like, help me become someone who loves others, who serves others. Help me become someone who encourages people instead of tears them down. Help me become this person as I'm looking for this person. That's my challenge for us as we think about dating. Yeah, there's so much that we could say, and the band's gonna come back up and we're gonna respond in just a second in worship, but there's so much that we could say in regards to how to do this. I would say start with prayer when you're dating. Like, that never hurt anyone, right? Start with prayer. But more than that, where I've seen so many college students get twisted and messed up is not knowing, like, what should I look for? Like, I know I should ask the question, do they love Jesus? But should I go beyond that? Are there things that I need to think about? And I told you, man, like when my college pastor shared this verse with me and said, hey, like this is the type of person that God's trying to create you to be. And so why wouldn't you look for this person as well to date? I don't remember really anything else that he said about this passage, okay? But all I remember is it just sticking with me going, okay, yeah, like that makes sense to me. And so start becoming this person today. Allow God to create this in you as you look for this person. That's my challenge for us as we think about this tonight.